The following episode of The Drop-In is brought to you by Spoke, a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Drop-In with Will Melnati.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Drop-In. My name is Will Malnati. I'm your host. I typically start these episodes out with things that annoy me, things that piss me off. Today, I wanted to change it up. I just feel like there's so much bad and so much negativity happening right now when you turn on the news. I've actually stopped watching the news. I've only subscribed to the positive ones now, right? The ones that don't give me the dark and gloomy stuff. So I just wanted to take you through that. So sit back, close your eyes, and just kind of relax for a second. Okay, here we go. I know that hackers aren't good people. They release information about people that they shouldn't. Well, let me just say, there's a hacker on the loose that has taken the next three episodes of Game of Thrones and is asking for a ransom. Honestly, I feel like this is good news. I've never in my life, or at least not in the past 15 years, been waiting by my TV to watch a TV show week after week. I don't want to live like this. Hackers, give me the episodes so I can just binge them like every other show that I watch. This is ridiculous. And the other thing that's great is they released Emilia Clarke, Khaleesi. They released her phone number, which, look, I'm a married guy, so I'm not, you know, looking for her phone number, but if it happened to cross my desk, I don't know, I might just see what she's up to. All right, next thing. One thing I'd like to do is just distract everyone from anything that's happening on planet Earth, and let's all just tilt our heads up to the sky and look towards the moon, because on August 21st, we have a solar eclipse that is like nothing you've ever seen, okay? If someone doesn't know what a solar eclipse is when the moon completely blocks the sun, okay? Not partial, all the way. You're going to want to get to an open field and just let that thing happen so you don't worry about anything that's happening on our planet. Another thing I wanted to make sure that you know about, okay? The iPhone 8 is now, you guessed it, in production. I know you were getting bored of the iPhone 7 that you've only had for 15 minutes. I know, it's been a long time, and it's been a long time coming. iPhone 8 is coming, and they said this one thing about it. They released a statement, and I'll read it for you. iPhone 8 has a built-in feature that senses when you're eating brunch, and then it will just automatically selfie your avocado toast and poached egg bleeding over the top of it. Not only that, but it also has 15 different puppy ear filters. So different breeds of different puppies, and you can change it so that it's just always puppy. And whenever you take a picture of yourself or someone takes a picture of you, you're just always puppy ear. At least for me, I'm running to the store to get that. I love a good puppy ear filter. All right, today we have a very, very special guest, Yetide Badaki. Yetide is an amazing woman that I met the first time when she came into this studio. Yetide is on a new program on Starz. It's a cable network. If you don't have it, get it. Literally just for this show. You'll thank me later. American Gods is the name of this show. Ladies and gentlemen, The Drop-In.
Thanks so much for coming.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me.
So are you based here now? I mean,
in New York?
You're in L.A.
L.A. Yeah,
you're in L.A.
L.A. is where I've been for the past, 11 years.
Do you like coming here?
To New York?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Okay, but some people, when they're in L.A., after they're in L.A. for a while, they're like, you know what? I could never see myself going back to New York. I feel like people always start in New York in some capacity, or they, you know, spend time there, and then they're like, they hit the weather, they hit the, you know,
well,
beach,
always,
and they're like, nah.
Yeah. I mean, there's beautiful, beautiful weather in L.A., don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's always a special place in my heart for New York.
Yeah.
Because that's when I finally decided to, you know, stand up and say I'm going to be an actor, even though.
That's a big moment, by the way.
Yeah. And the parents are going, you know, a traditional Nigerian.
They're saying, what is acting? Saying, what does that exactly mean?
They're saying, you're on your own.
Yeah.
And I had thankfully a wonderful theater teacher at McGill in Montreal.
Yeah.
Myrna Wyatt-Selkirk. And she, last minute, rushed a whole application for me to come down to New York and do the Urdas, which is
Of course. I know of people who have been involved, yes.
Right. So it was a thing of me and my roommate coming down. We had a bag of bagels to last us for the weekend.
I love it. At least it was bagels. There's worse things to have. But
yeah.
Not if you're trying to lose weight, but
it's not the way to go. But New York was where I got into grad school and was able to say, I might be able to do this acting thing. Yeah,
I love it. What were you doing at that very moment? What were you doing before you said, okay, let's do this for real?
What was I doing? I was an environmental science major.
Woo! Teach me. Teach me everything you know. You have 20 seconds.
There is such a thing as climate change. What is that controversial? Ooh, moving on.
Yikes. Do they bring that up in class or no? I guess not then.
Yeah, well, definitely.
It was a thing. Yeah. It was an always constant debate.
At that time, it wasn't a debate.
Right. At that time, it wasn't a debate. Yeah. That's so interesting, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, environmental science was what I was doing to be the good child. But I'd always wanted to act.
You had it. You had it in you, but you just didn't know exactly how it was going to make its way.
Yeah. How to make that, you know, not just a hobby anymore. Yeah.
And so now that it's really not a hobby, do you love it every day? Or do you wake up some days saying, this is not what I expected?
Okay. To put it in perspective, ever since I was, 6 years old and heard Stories by the Fire, I knew I wanted to tell stories. And all through that time, in whichever way I could, I was trying to tell stories. So even when I was an environmental science major, I was doing that for everybody else. But I realized I could sneak in theater classes because they showed up on the transcript as literature.
Perfect.
So I've always wanted to do this. So every morning, every day I get to wake up and tell a story. This is beyond dream come true.
It's so great. And honestly, so for our listeners, American Gods is on Stars, and it just got picked up for
second season,
which is a huge deal these days in TV to get picked up for a second season. I feel like a lot of these guys come in hot, and they're not even sure like what a season two looks like. They just want to try to get on the air for season one.
Right.
So for you guys to be renewed for a second season is a huge deal, and it's a huge compliment to you and the rest of the cast.
To this whole group, this family, and I think it's interesting. You see us all say it at
family.
This point. It's a family, and it's. I mean, we're talking about storytelling and loving that. This is a whole group of people from the top down, every layer that love what they do. And everyone is passionate about this show. And I think it shows on screen where you can pause frame by frame and you can look at the top right corner and realize how much thought.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to watch the entire season, but the stuff that I've watched, you feel like you're watching some cinematic experience. And then the Godfather Ian McShane walks on the into the frame and you're just like, oh my God. I swear I have nightmares sometimes that Ian McShane is my dad.
Oh wow.
And he's yelling at me to like clean the dishes or take out the.
That is an interesting one. Talk about that?
Hold on. It's not really that, but you know what I'm saying? It's Ian McShane is this, if you don't know who he is, look him up and then you will.
Yeah.
But he's this powerful force that has this like low kind of like brooding voice that
I could listen to
him. If he was my dad, I would be scared of him always, is all I have to say. Is he a scary? Does he come into a room and command or no?
I mean, he commands the room.
Sure.
The man has presence, and I could listen to him read the phone book.
Exactly.
But as far as scary, no, he's the most charming, incredible. I mean, this man. Yeah, he just has the whole room melting by the time he's, entered.
Yeah.
So I don't think
people
you should
shut up.
Yeah, people shut up and listen to him. But yeah. No, he's not scary. He wouldn't yell at you about dishes.
Okay, that's good for me to know. Now I can revise my nightmare. Hopefully it'll be a dream instead. But the great cast of you and Ian and, I mean, there's some people in
there. Ricky Whittle, Emily Browning, Gillian Anderson, Kristen Chenoweth.
Kristen Chenoweth snuck her way in there somehow. Dane Cook somehow was
everybody
in an episode.
Everybody is in this. And there was even, because I would say Ricky, Emily, and I were the first binge watchers of the show because we went to the studio and they said, you can watch a couple.
Sure.
And we're going, wait, can we see another one? Can we see another one? We were so just drawn into it. And there were people that I didn't even know were part of the show. And we're looking at each other going, wait, did you just see it's, you know, everybody's in the show.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And once you start seeing these types of people of this caliber start showing up on a series like this, it's like, okay, the word is out. People are wanting to be on this and wanting to be a part of it.
Right.
And Emily Browning I've had a crush on, I think, forever.
She is constantly my woman crush Wednesday.
It's just every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, every day.
Emily's like, hey, we need to talk about this thing you're doing every week.
Right. She's like, can you bring it down a little bit? But, I mean, that's the thing. It's that, yes, of course, she's absolutely stunning. But she's also incredibly witty and real and gritty. And it's just, you know, I remember the first time we really got to spend time together was for my birthday. Everyone came out and we just had a blast. And I went, oh, girl, I like you. You
know? We're going to get along.
Yeah. No, everyone in the show. Oh, Bruce, you have to get a chance to meet Bruce J. Langley, who plays Technical Boy.
Yes, okay, got it.
The Peter Stormare, who was Chernobog. I mean, Cloris Leachman.
Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about Cloris Leachman?
Please.
I love her.
Okay, so who do you not like at this point? There's like one random crew guy that you're like, he keeps giving you the weird eye and you...
You know, and Orlando Jones, let's not forget that. He was, we were having a chat about this the other day and the fact that everyone calls it family. And he says, this doesn't happen.
Right.
He says, I've been doing this for a while. This does not happen. And it really, it's truly a coming together of souls, of people that just really want to tell a great story that was originated by this mastermind, Neil Gaiman.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Who, whenever he's brought up, people are like, yep, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's so talented. We're so happy that this is now a television show after so many years.
That it's a thing. And especially me being the geek that I am. Oh boy! Yeah. Let's. I think I said this before, but I said I feel like the geek Cinderella that got to go to the ball.
Are you? You're considering yourself a geek? Have you always?
Oh my goodness! Are you kidding me? That is what I am.
That's what you are. You don't strike me as that. You didn't come in with like the taped glasses or anything. So
growing up, I think I spent more time in sci-fi and fantasy worlds than I did in real life, to the point where my parents are going, you know, go out and interact with children, you know?
You have 20 invisible friends.
Yeah.
You need real ones.
I've always just loved sci-fi and fantasy. It's always been my thing. My first crushes being Data and Captain Picard.
Love it.
I mean, which the other day, Brent Spiner liked one of my tweets. I thought I was going to die.
He knows who I am.
He knows who I am.
Not only that, but he's actually looking at what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Well, Brian did this. Brent Spiner was at the premiere. And so Brian was like, Yatide, come over here for a minute. And I have no idea what this, you know, what's happening.
Sure.
And then he's like, so Yatide, I'd like you to meet Brent Spiner. Silence.
Yeah.
I cannot speak. And he's like, do you guys want a picture? And all I could do was just not. So he also got a picture of Data and I, and my wife was made. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So now it's framed above your bed.
Well, I'm not going to say, but...
Okay, so what has this project specifically, because you've been in the game for a long time, what has this project specifically meant to you as far as your career goes?
It's all of a sudden there's an incredible visibility there, because I, for the longest time, due to the fact that I just love storytelling, I would be in that show, that theater production where there's more people in the cast than there are out in the audience.
Right.
Which, you know what? At that point, it really didn't matter. I just was so happy to be able to tell a story.
Right.
And all of a sudden, people are, I mean, seeing a tweet from Anne Rice talking about how she enjoyed the show, going, Anne Rice?
Right.
Watches American Gods? What is happening?
I mean, I read something that said, from GQ, that said, we think that this is perhaps the best new television show of 2017.
Wow.
Which, not saying that GQ is anything. No,
GQ,
I'm joking.
GQ is plenty.
No. For
GQ,
anyone,
if you're out there.
For anyone to say that. It's a huge, huge deal.
It's a huge deal. And on top of that, yes, it's wonderful to have, you know, this show that people are enjoying. But to also then be part of a project that asks all these questions that I think sometimes people are afraid to ask. And it really dives into a lot of really topical, relevant stuff. And so to be able to have that be part of something that means something and for people to be enjoying it in such a major way is, again, like Orlando says, this doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, it's really great.
Yeah.
And for you guys to be able to go to work every day and still feel like there's that extra layer of good, you know, potentially that you're doing and conversation that you're starting.
Right.
You know, that's even more rewarding than just showing up to a set that has a great script.
Right. Which, and you have both. And then you have these wonderful, I mean, already being a fan of, you know, Brian Fuller. And, you know, all the Pushing Daisies and Hannibal and all of that. And then Michael Green, who's having a great year with Logan and Alien and Blade Runner.
The big blockbuster stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, to be able to step on a set where they come in happy to be there, excited. And they're saying, hey, let's dig into this question. And then to have a network like STARS that goes, all right, if you're going to ask the question, you might as well really ask it. And as opposed to, you know, it can be the opposite.
And most times it is because networks are too scared to go there. And
STARS went there.
STARS went there, which I commend them for.
I do.
Because I try to imagine this show on a different network, and it's difficult to the lengths that you guys go in it. You know, it's just difficult. They said that this is what perhaps the most even sexually
progressive
show that's ever hit TV.
Yeah. It's, I mean, which, that's been an interesting part of the journey, but because, as I said.
For your parents.
For everybody that knows me.
Yeah, okay.
And for myself.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, I'm a geek.
Right.
And, you know, but as a geek, someone says, okay, well, we want you to play a love goddess. And yes, there's terror. But then it's also incredibly fascinating and go, okay, what is a love goddess and what is sensuality and what does that mean to me and what does that mean to other people and what is intimacy? So that in itself has been a really interesting journey. And so it's kind of funny, I think, that a lot of people identify me as this individual, and that, you know, I'm hanging out in sweats, being like, reading my, you know, Stephen King Dark Tower, going, okay, guys, if you say so.
If you say so, I'll do it. But that is very interesting, and I'm wondering, you don't have to answer, but are you in a relationship? Do you have a girlfriend, boyfriend?
Yes, there's definitely the pansexual side of the character. Which I love that they're exploring.
Yeah.
I don't at the moment. I'm still waiting for Jake Gyllenhaal to call. I don't know happened.
Yeah, I'm sure he just doesn't have your new number.
Oh, he doesn't have my new number.
I'll make sure he gets
new
it.
New number, who dis type deal. Yeah, yeah, okay.
New phone,
No, it's while I was filming, I was in a relationship.
Okay.
And it was interesting because the character did inform a lot of things. And the ideas of... this is of empowerment and what it started to leak into life a little bit.
I mean, I don't understand, or I couldn't imagine it not in a way.
Yeah.
But it's just I'm imagining you coming home and all of a sudden you're like, all right, like, like calling the shots all of a sudden.
No, it's not.
You sit there and he's like, where is this coming from?
No, not at all. It was actually, I think in many ways it was, well, I wouldn't say opposite, but it was more about the more that I was delving into the research on present-day intimacy and the ways that we in this day and age kind of pull back and find ways to not fully connect, the more I started to see where I was doing that. And once you see it, you can't unsee it.
That's right.
And then you start to realize, oh, am I really connecting here? And what does connection really look like to me? And what do I aspire to in that way? So, yeah, I guess it...
I mean, if I'm your boyfriend in that, in you learning all that, it would be a tough situation.
Probably wasn't easy.
He's like, where is all this coming from? Why are you... Stop reading. Stop.
Why do you care? But no. It was also wonderful having those conversations with, which everyone's seen episode 3 now, which I'm so happy about because it's... to me, that's one of the most beautiful lovemaking scenes I've ever experienced. And so I'd actually worked with Omid, who plays Salim in it. We had been in Call of Duty Infinite Warfare together. So we'd known each other for a while. And then Omid had been really good friends with Musa, who plays the djinn. They had been friends for, I think, over a decade or something.
Wow.
And it was great. That's why I love this equal opportunity approach that Stars takes.
You're talking about the homosexual scene.
The beautiful love scene.
Which, by the way, once again, is testing the borders of television as we know it.
Well, it's just groundbreaking.
Absolutely.
It's groundbreaking. What was absolutely beautiful about it was... this response from these incredible fans. Our fans are so intelligent, so with it, understand all the layers that they see there. And to see all these people and a lot of people that are hetero say, this is just a beautiful love scene. And for them to understand that, it's huge. But, I mean, speaking relationships, yes, Musa and Omid and I would talk about all that. I'm good friends with, you know, with Musa and Omid now, and I think we kind of bonded even more with that and talking about their relationships and what they were, you know, then experiencing in going through all this. Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I do think if I was going back again to your boyfriend, your sex scene would have been a tough pill to swallow.
Well, but that's what's
and
interesting.
It, by the way, and it was amazing and beautiful and well shot. And I mean, all of that was great. And
that's, again, thanks to this amazing team. Yeah. They pulled it off. Here's the thing. That's what I also realized, that as far as my boyfriend, partner, whoever, is someone that would celebrate that.
As you know, the theme of today's episode is American Gods and all things mythological. We hit the streets today, Mitch and myself, to make sure that people knew about American Gods, but more importantly, to make sure that they knew which mythological god they would be if given the chance. So let's hear what they had to say on this new segment we're calling The Street.
What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Taylor. I live in Brooklyn. I guess I'd like to be some sort of like Dionysian type god, you know, who brings like... just good times and...
So like the god of partying?
God of partying, yeah, let's say that.
Sure, so you just show up on scene and all of a sudden...
And all of a sudden, you know, just like the beer is flowing, there's like sweet spreads of food, all the good stuff, the music's pumping.
Thanks, buddy. If you were a mythological god, what would your name be and what would your superpowers be?
Well, I'd probably just be the first one that comes to mind is Morpheus, the god of dreams.
Why would that be your god?
I'm a writer, so I like to think I could influence people's imaginations, hopefully.
What's your name and where are you from?
Grace. I live in Brooklyn, but I'm from Maryland.
If you were a mythological god, what would your name be and what would your superpowers be?
I would be a sleepy witch and I would fall asleep at the drop of a hat.
Why is that your superpower? Do you have trouble sleeping at night?
Sometimes, yes.
Grace, with the ability to fall asleep on command.
My name is Jessica and I'm from Staten Island. I like to be called the queen of the grind because I do believe in hard work and hard work bringing success. And I guess my superpower would be motivating and inspiring others to be the best that they can be.
If you were a mythological god, what would your name be and what would your powers be?
Mr. Mythical.
Mr. Mythical? I like that.
I would want some powers with fighting ability as well. I don't want to just throw thunderbolts or anything like that, you know, and just stand there, you know, and that'll work, get beat up.
A made-up name, my name would be like Kathar, and my powers would be, I would get like strength or speed from specific cities. I've thought about this before. So.
I can tell.
Yeah.
So what would New York City do for you?
A lot. It would be like being Superman, but I could only be Superman in Metropolis.
Okay, so if you were in the middle of Alabama?
Yeah, it would be difficult.
I'd be Dionysus, I guess.
Explain to our listeners what that means exactly.
It's either interpreted as the god of wine or the god of fertility. And I don't drink wine and I don't have any kids, but I think I'm missing out on some stuff, no?
That's great. All right, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
If you were a mythological god, what would your name be and what would your superpower be?
Come on. I don't have time for this crap. I got work to do. No, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not into this bullshit. I'm into real-life drama, preferably something that's based on a real story. Not this Game of Thrones stuff. None of it. It's got to be real, man.
X-Men?
No. What part of this are you not understanding?
And now a word from our sponsors. Guys, have you heard of Spoke? It is a new app that curates playlists for you of podcasts that you like based on the things that you want to hear. These days, there's so many podcasts, it's hard to find exactly what you want to listen to. Spoke makes that easy for you. Go to hearspoke.com/at will and start putting in your preferences. From there, you will be directed to a path that highlights all different types of podcasts surrounding what you like. Not only that, but they have highlights from The Drop-In. Go to hearspoke.com/at will and they have the highlights from each episode, the best portions of the show, and all the other shows from the At Will Network. If you like what you hear, you can join the conversation and leave a voice comment or send it to a friend on social media. That's right, hearspoke.com/at will. Check it out now. What about the scariest thing that you've done recently?
The scariest thing I've done recently?
Yeah, not necessarily acting-wise or with this project. Or just what's something that that got your heart pumping?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, it's different because I've started to rephrase it a lot.
Please.
So I go, I am incredibly excited.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there have been some projects going in for and... you know, okay, this is kind of on theme, and since you opened up so much, I feel...
Yeah, barely.
I feel like I can, but I think it was opening up to someone and telling them how I really felt about them. Hmm. That got my heart pumping. And I think that is so indicative of where we are today, that is, for a lot of people, the most terrifying thing to do. And but it leaves you open. It leaves you vulnerable. It leaves you no place to hide.
Very much so. So mm-hmm. You're saying that you told someone how you felt about them positively, not
yeah.
negative.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't, like, tell someone off here.
No.
Like, let me tell you what I think about you, really. I think you're an asshole.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, if you know me, that's never going to be a thing.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I don't tend to do that.
But you're just not going
to. I don't even tend to really think. I'm a Libra.
Got it.
So, yeah.
People say that type of thing to me, and I actually don't know what it means. I just always pretend I do. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, she's a Libra. That makes sense.
Okay, no, I can all, for the most part, see the other side of the argument. Okay. And I can see where somebody else is coming from. So, I have a hard time telling anybody off.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm just saying. So, I read this thing that you started college at age of 16.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I was then thinking, are you similar to a Bobby Fischer? Why and how does anyone start college at 16?
Well, you probably also saw that I grew up for the most part in Nigeria.
Okay.
And in Nigeria, to get into secondary school, you take the exam. And you don't get into secondary school until you pass this exam.
And you can take the exam whenever you want?
You can take it whenever you want. And a lot of people take it a year early just to give themselves a little bit of a cushion.
Sure.
I did it 2 years early.
Hello.
I guess all the reading did something because then I passed. I didn't expect to.
I feel like they should use the same
system
in the U.S. Yeah.
Well,
Think about it.
I don't know. I don't know how that all works.
Do you know how to play chess?
I don't, actually. I don't, but I'd love to learn.
What else would you like to learn?
Oh, there's so much I would love to learn.
What's like the one thing that you're always like, damn, I wish I knew how to do that?
The one thing. Huh. The one thing? That's the hard part. It's bringing it down to one. I've taken a couple of, like, I've done single sword in grad school.
Okay.
And I would love to do a little bit more in that type of thing. I love stage combat. I think it's fun. So, yeah.
Have you had to do a lot of it?
I've only really done it in school.
Okay.
So, you do the stage combat
as class. Like part of a... Oh, it's its own class.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get certified. So I got certified for single sword.
It was like getting certified for scuba diving or something? It's like, well, here you go. Is there a ceremony?
Yes, well, there's no ceremony. But, well, they kind of made it one by handing it out. But then you get your certificate. Now... It might have expired, but...
you better make sure it's renewed. Honestly, I think that might be the also, even though it's cool, the most geeky thing about you so far.
That's the most geeky?
I think so. From this conversation thus far, you're saying that the one thing that you wish you did more was single sword. If I've ever asked that to someone, that's never been the response.
Okay.
For the record. But I think it's amazing, and that's on my list as well.
That's on your list. Well, what is yours?
Things that I wish I did. I wish that I... knew how to rock climb.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
I mean, I guess I know how to rock climb. I just wish that I rocked climb. Rocked climb.
I like that. Rocked climb.
I would rock the climb. And I just wish that I gave myself the challenge to actually do it. I wanted to ask you about Chicago.
I'm
a Chicagoan.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Where...
I grew up in Northbrook, a place called Northbrook.
Ah, so wait, does that mean you were a Cubs fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Are you a Sox fan?
Well, no. It's just that
that's how you usually judge.
No, that's where you tell where someone's from in Chicago.
Yes.
Like North Side versus
South Side.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
So I'm a Cubs fan.
Okay, well, that's awesome.
But you spent a lot of time in Chicago. I love that.
Yeah, because I went to grad school at Illinois State.
Okay.
And then in the summers we do Shakes Fest. And directors
what
would come
that?
Down.
What is that? Like milkshake? You drink milkshakes and then...
Yes, it's the milkshake that brings all the boys to the yard. Now, you might have heard of this William Shakespeare.
Oh, Billy.
Yes,
Billy
Shakespeare. Our buddy Billy.
I understand now, yes.
And remember, I'm a geek, so...
Right, so that's right up your alley. Okay, got it.
Yeah, so we would do Shakespeare Festival in the summers, and Chicago directors would come down. And Michael Halberstam from Writers Theater came down, and I played a tiny little role, but he went, what are you doing after school?
do you want to get a drink?
No.
Which is a very weird question. What are you doing after school?
Not at all. After grad school, what are you doing? And I had no clue what I was doing. Because I was just playing the player queen. And you know that's just a tiny little part in Hamlet.
Okay.
And he said, well, you know, we're doing Chekhov's The Seagull. And I'd love you to come up and understudy Nina. And you'll get time up there as well. Which
you don't always get.
You don't. Well, and also being, you know, a woman of color, the idea that I'd play Nina...
Mm.
I mean, that's one of the most amazing ingenue roles that doesn't tend to get, you know, sent my way or for people that look like me.
But don't you love that?
Oh, gosh, I love it.
That's amazing.
And it was incredible. And it all of a sudden it started a career in Chicago because,
Chi-Town Roots.
Oh, it's amazing.
Chi-Town Roots are different than other roots, I think.
Yeah.
But that's me being biased.
What makes it particularly?
Well, because I think you grow up with a certain level of work ethic.
Mm.
And I think you grow up with a certain level of appreciation for people and things a little bit more.
Well,
I don't know why.
It's also when you survive that winter year after year.
Yeah, right.
I think that has a little something.
That's actually probably most of it, yeah. If you can handle the winter that, you know, dips well below 10 degrees below zero, then you can pretty much go through anything.
I used to say I think we just had collective amnesia every year because I said if it was this cold last year, I wouldn't still be here, you know.
I know that you like comic book things.
Sci-fi and fantasy.
What is your favorite sci-fi fantasy comic movie?
Oh.
And then, well, you don't...
Do I pick one or like
you have to pick one because this is what you're about to do. I'm going to put 20 seconds on the clock and you're going to give me the full plot. You have 20 seconds starting now.
All right. The Logan I love because you will start with Logan, who's Wolverine, and something has obviously happened with our wonderful Patrick Stewart, who's Professor X. And they're on the run and they're not as amazing and cool as they once were with the school and everything. And then they Logan has to take care of this child who turns out to be kind of like him, and they're also running from these people that are hunting down mutants, and there are hardly any more mutants anymore, and then he saves all these mutant children, and he's amazing, but poor Professor X dies, and you cry throughout the movie because it's beautiful. Oh, sorry, I thought it was supposed to tell you the whole movie.
That was amazing. Thank you very much. I'm going to stop right now. You got through it in 30 seconds for the record, which is amazing. And that's on the longer side of films, right? Isn't that like a 2:30?
Yes, and also by our amazing Michael Green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to throw his name
back out
there. Thank you, Michael. You might as well have been here today as the second co-host. Okay, so one last question.
Sure.
You have all these different dialects that you're able to... I watched a video of you called Taboo.
Oh, yes.
Which was frightening how good it was.
I wrote that.
It's unreal.
Thank you.
I wanted it to keep going because it was really short.
Oh, wow.
Right? Or maybe I just saw a clip of it.
Well, no, it was just that. And you talk about doing things that terrify you. My acting studio, they said, okay, now you all are going to write yourselves monologues. And it was something that terrified all of us, myself very much so.
When was this?
This was, 2 years ago now?
Oh, 2 years ago, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is a fresh video that I saw.
Yeah, and they said you're going to write them, and then you're going to, you know, perform them, and we're going to film. And that was a moment that made my heart, really, because I went, I'm not a writer, and oh, geez, and blah, blah, blah.
It all comes back around.
It does.
Okay, so the assignment was write a monologue, mm-hmm. and what did you do? You took it kind of a different take on this.
When we were doing that, they said bring in pieces that inspire you. And so I think I've mentioned Dark Tower already, but I'm Stephen King, and there's a character in there, Detta Odetta. And I'd always been fascinated with her growing up. And so I thought, well, a monologue. What if it's a person, but the two different sides of a person, and they're not aware of each other.
Mm.
And that's the monologue. And after that popped up, then all of a sudden all this stuff came out. And it was just weird and interesting and dark. And I kind of dug going into that part, you know, of it.
I'm going to put the link up for people to watch this video. It's fascinating because you're not expecting it. And then all of a sudden she drops into what dialect?
Nigerian.
A Nigerian proper dialect.
Yeah.
Can you give like a quick, so that people who are not going to click on the link yet will? I mean, just do like one sentence. You can even tell me like, hey, do you want to go for a cup of coffee? And then you bounce into this other thing.
So it's always really interesting. Okay, hey, do you want to go for a cup of coffee, I'd say. But my Nigerian side doesn't usually come out until I watch a horror movie, because then I say, why are they going there? Who sent them to this place? Why are they making these terrible decisions? And then, you know, then it goes into there. Was that enough? I
don't that was know. Amazing. What are you talking about? No one can do that.
Oh, plenty of people can do
Who
that.
Who can do that?
Actors.
I know. But, so you have this ability, though, to switch in and out of these dialects that's uncanny. It's something
Thank
that
you.
I would not even attempt to do. So I understand the fear in doing something like that, but it's great.
Oh, but in writing, yeah, that was different. And I mean, I do have to say, I went to international school when I was in Nigeria. So you listen to a lot of different people and different sounds. And it became, you just became a little more attuned to different soundscapes. And so it has helped along the way, because I remember doing Touch with Kiefer Sutherland back in the day.
Name drop.
You know. Oh, did I just name drop?
No, I'm kidding. I always just say that to give people shit.
Okay, good. And then they had us do it in isiZulu, which I don't speak.
Wow.
And I mean, that was, I mean, they had us with a coach and learning and all of that. And the ear definitely came in handy, because there's nothing like being on set on the day of, after you've practiced these sounds and this. And they go, okay, there's a quick rewrite here. My heart dropped. But then you do. Because, you know, the ear comes in handy.
What did that dialect sound like?
Well, they also put in bits of Xhosa. So it was isiZulu, but with bits of Xhosa in it as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. So when you go to an audition from now on, it's like, how do you want this? Do you want this straight? Do you want this Xhosa?
Right. Yeah, you got it.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much. Please watch American Gods.
Yes, please do.
Thank you so much for being on The Drop-In.
Thank you, Yetide, for being my guest. What a lovely human. If you want to find out more about her, go to @Yetide. That's it. Yetide on Instagram. That must be nice to just have your first name on there. Go check out American Gods on Stars. Season 2 starts up soon. The Drop-In will be back next week with a whole new episode you won't want to miss. Follow me at Will Malnati. Follow at Will Radio at @ATWILLRADIO. And make sure to subscribe and tell a friend. Thanks again to our partner Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, and documentaries curated for you. Go to hearspoke.com/@will now.